Thank you. I would like to address one filing that came in late yesterday afternoon. Typically, when we have had filings, we have responded in writing to the various parties, but this one came in so late, there was no such reaction on our part. The filing by Ms. Tucker on behalf of Maybe Grace and other clients yesterday afternoon is not accepted into the record, as it violates the procedural ruling that no reply briefs or further filings may be made after the briefs were filed. This was the 10th filing subsequent to the briefs. And number two, any objections to the procedure or to the staff briefing were to be made during oral argument today. So if you wish to lodge objections, it may be done during your oral argument. And that 20-minute period begins with Ms. Tucker on behalf of her clients.
I'm going to move a little closer because I noticed when I was in the back, I couldn't hear people sitting here. I don't know if you could hear them, but I couldn't. I have brought a few pages out of the administrative record, the existing administrative record. I didn't know if you all wanted to have those in front of you. It's just some of the images that I'll be referring to. I didn't know if you were okay with me passing that out. I have enough for opposing counsel.
No, thank you again. The original procedural order said you get to submit your 10 pages of argument and then no additional supplements. And in this case, I would view this as an additional supplement.
Okay. But I will just reference the, for your information, I will reference the page numbers from the administrative record that I'm referring to. That way we'll see what it
Good,
is.
Good, thank you.
I can hold the answers. So as the presiding officer said, my name is Tim Tucker. I represent Jeffrey Maybe and Judith Grace, who are landowners of land that is impacted by the several of the board's 21 orders. I also represent the Maine Lobster Union, the local commercial lobster and crab fishermen, Wayne Canning and David Black, as well as the Friends of the Harrietville Park, the conservation area, which holds a valid and enforceable conservation easement on the intertidal land adjacent to, and I'm going to call it Lot 36. It's the portion of land that was owned by Richard and Janet Eckro when this process started, because there is dispute as to who actually owns that land now. We know it's not the Eckros. They conveyed it away. I just think for ease, we're just going to call it Lot 36. That's a reference to its location on tax map 29 for the city of Belfast, and it is Lot 36. Jeffrey and Judith own Lot 38. I'm going to be referring to upland lots because they don't designate intertidal land on the property tax maps because property taxes aren't paid on intertidal land. So that's part of what led to this case, I guess. So Jeffrey and Judith own Lot 38, which is right adjacent to the Little River. The lot next to them is Lot 37. Lot 36 is where Nordic has proposed to place its pipes in, out into the bay, roughly a mile. And then Lot 35 was owned by Dr. Morton, Wendy Morton. Lots 36 and 35 were originally part of a conveyance from Harriet L. Hartley, a much larger tract. She basically owned everything from Tozier Road to the bridge going from Northport into Belfast on the watershed. And originally, she carved out as the first lot that she conveyed a lot to Fred R. Core, who's Janet Eckro's grandfather. And the description of the shows that it ended at the high water mark. I can say that even more definitively now than I used to say that, because now the law court unanimously says that we run. So, and that's what part of the issue that's brought us here today. As you all that have been here for a while know, I have been a dog with a bone over the issue of title right and interest, TRI. It has always been my position, before even I represented Jeffrey and Judith, that Nordic had not demonstrated sufficient title right or interest in the intertidal land adjacent to Lot 36 to place its pipes, because the easement agreement that they signed with the Eckros by its own terms terminated at the high water mark. There's information. I will call that. Which is in the record, at AR00391 through 00404, and this image is at 404, which shows the boundaries of the easement to be conveyed to Nordic if they exercise their option. And it terminates at the high water mark. So the original objection filed by Upstream and the Lockstream representatives was that the easement agreement that Nordic was solely relying for to show title and interest ended at the high water mark and does not have any right in the written words of the easement agreement or in this image which defines the boundaries. It ends at the high water mark. Now, I'll be honest, I expected when I raised that objection, and Mr. Losey and I both did in January of 2019 and December 18th, 2018, that Nordic would just simply go in and redo it and show the lines going out into the water. They didn't. And what they did do is they had a letter agreement that they put in. It said that was they had a letter agreement that they Eric Hine did, and it says you intended a broad easement over your property, including any rights you have to U.S. Route 1 and the intertidal zone, such that Nordic Aqua Farms can build and site its pipes anywhere in those areas where you have rights. And it goes on to say in the last paragraph. By signing the acknowledgement on the accompanying page, this letter clarifies that the easement area delineated in the purchase and sale agreement, in the P&S, includes the entirety of your rights in the intertidal zone and U.S. Route 1 and amends the closing date. So what the letter did is it amended the closing date and then it had this language. But this language, in plain English, doesn't say the escrow zone any land in the intertidal land, and they didn't have the right to put pipes in U.S. Route 1. And so then I thought, is it possible these people don't own this land? So I went to my own lawyer, Jim Branich, and I said, Jim, what if these people don't own this? Son of it. And he said, oh, no, yeah. Somebody else might own that land. You need to have somebody that's experienced to look at this. Somebody that does these kind of title site search, you need to contact Jenny Notch. What is it? Gave me the number. So I contacted Jenny Notch and she cleared her throat after I explained what I was looking for. She said, I did that title search law firm in Portland last year. I just poked a couple buttons and give it to you to help philosophy. And I said, I don't think you can do that. You can check with Jim, but I'm pretty sure he's going to say you can't just poke the button. Which, of course, Jim did say that to her, as I expected. And so she gave me the name of another title searcher to look for, Bruce Willow, who has sadly since died. He did an awesome job and worked with Don Richards on surveying. And it didn't take but a few minutes to find out that the Edwards don't own this land. Did own it was a more laborious task, which took most of the day. But who didn't own it? That took no time at all. And so I go back to the fact that on the record before you, what I have argued to the law court is that the board erred in saying that there was title right and interest to begin with, because there was nothing in the record as evidence before that was submitted by Nordic that shows anything except that the Equos do not own this land. And if the Equos didn't own the intertidal land, they couldn't give an easement to use it. That's as a matter of law. So I am going to just focus on what did you have in front of you? What did you rely on in your orders? And what you said in your orders was you were relying on the purchase and sale agreement for the easement option, which, as I said, shows it ending at the high water mark. Next thing that you rely on was the March 3rd letter. And as I said, the March 3rd letter doesn't say that they own anything. It says that they, you have the right to do whatever we have the right to do, but it doesn't say they have the right to do it. And specifically in the last paragraph says, the entirety of your rights in U.S. Route 1 and the intertidal is defined by the easement agreement, the P&S, which ended the high water mark. And if there's any confusion about what the March 3rd letter meant, they themselves, Nordic and the Edgrows, clarified that on December 23rd, 2019, when they amended the purchase and sale agreement for the easement. And that's at AR12997. And in the second whereas clause of that amendment of the other, it says, whereas as specified in the March 3rd, 2019 letter agreement, any easement rights seller, in the Edgrows, grants with respect to the intertidal zone and U.S. Route 1 adjacent to their real property are limited to whatever ownership rights we, the Edgrows, may have in and to said areas, if any, and no representation or warranty is made as to any such ownership rights. In other words, they've said that the March 3rd letter doesn't say they own anything. So when it was relied on to show that they did, which is what the orders say, that was an error. What else did Nordic do? On May 29th, Deputy Commissioner Lloyd, at that time, Commissioner Lloyd now, sent a letter to Nordic. Send us everything that you rely on to show title and interest. So Nordic filed a 144-page PDF. It had changed the title of various people owners of Lot 38, 37, 36, and 35. It had two surveys. It had a letter from their surveyor, Jim Dolsky. And what did those things show? So the first survey was June 4th. And I do have one objection about the briefing that you all received that I wanted to raise. And that was Brian Kavanaugh on January 22nd, 2019 sent a letter in that said he agreed with our objection that the easement purchase and sale agreement did not show that they owned the intertidal land or had a right to use it because it showed it terminating at the high water mark. And he asked for additional information. One of the things he asked for was the November 14th, 2018 survey by Jim Dorsey. And in the briefing, Mr. Martin said, and I believe Ms. Benzinger as well said, that that was provided later to the board. It was never provided to the board, except by me in July of 2020. Because it wasn't until July of 2020 that Nordic provided it in discovery. And the problem with Jim Dorsky's surveys and survey revisions is every single one of them is different. But they all agree on one thing. The Edgrows don't own the intertidal land. Every single one of his surveys, November 14th, 2018, November 15th, 2018, January 25th, 2019, February 22nd, 2019, May 16th, 2019, June 4th, 2019, which you have in your record, and July 24th, 2020. Every single one of them shows the boundary for the actual lot. Lot 36 is the high water mark. Every single one. So the Nordic's own surveyor told them in November 14th, 2018, they didn't know. The other survey that was submitted on June 10th was a survey done in 2018 by Clark Staple of Goodbeads. It also shows that the boundary for this property is the high water mark. It also says there's a discrepancy in the deed language and that you need to have counsel look to see how, quote, the estate of Phyllis J. Poor, the Edgrows' predecessor, that's Janet Edgrows' mother, can give you an easement below the high water mark. So that surveyor told them, Nordic surveyor, Nordic put that on the record. So again, it showed the Edgrows don't own the land. Then they put the chain of title for the property, for the Edgrows. The entire chain of every deed that's here, including the last one from 2015, has language that shows that it ends at the high water mark. And you cannot understand the 2012 deed, the October 15, 2012 deed, without looking at the survey that was done and incorporated by reference in that deed as the basis for the deed. That is August 31st, 2012, done by Gus Duranz before the Eckrows. She was retained by the Eckrows. That is also in the record. And I'm going to give you the exact location of that. I'll come back to that, but it's in the record. I filed it in the record. I believe Nordic filed it in the record, and I also believe Nordic never gave that document before June 13th of 2019 when the department made its TRI determination to the department. On the other hand, on May 16th, 2019, Nordic gave it to the BPL. So the BPL had that. That's how I got it. It's an unreported survey otherwise. When you look at that survey, it shows that it's the mark, that's the location of the easternmost waterside boundary of the Echo Park. Again, something that Nordic produced. I couldn't otherwise get it. It's an unreported survey. That survey is, here it is, it's AR22547 is where it's located in the record. I have asked for all of the Dorsky surveys to be put in the record back in July of 2020. The presiding officer denied that, has again denied it. I think it's important for this board to see that every single survey that was either put in the record by Nordic or attempted to be put in the record by us, but was made for Nordic, shows that the Eckrows did not own the intertidal bank. In addition, Nordic put in the 144-page tranche, an opinion from Mr. Dorsky that specifically shows that the Eckrows do not own it, but he opines that heirs of Harry L. Hartley own it. Now, the Mady Gray's decision rejected that. Even Justice Murray's decision, that in many ways was contrary to our position, said specifically that Harriet Hartley had conveyed all of her land during her lifetime, and that the grantors of the release deed, which are attached to the 144-page tranche, is the last several pages, in a redacted form. This is the only form we've ever received these release deeds in, is redacted. But the importance of the fact that Nordic put this and this in the record on June 10th is that what Dorsky's opinion letter says, and what these say, is that Nordic itself was telling you the Eckrows don't own this intertidal land, these heirs do. So they didn't even believe it. And yet, the only thing that they had that they relied on for TRI was the easement from the Eckrows, which the Eckrows could not give them because they didn't own the intertidal land. So finally, I have attempted to put into the record in July, and again now, that November 14th, 2018 Dorsky survey. I think of all those surveys, this is the most critical one because it's what Mr. Kavanaugh asked for. It is what was put on hold at the end of January 2019. And I think it's important for you all to do that. Finally, on the other side of the street, my focus has always been on the water side of the street. But one day in March of this year, in a bit of madness, I was looking at the Waldo County Registry of Deeds and see this deed of vacation from the city to Nordic, releasing it from restrictions on some parcel, which I couldn't figure out where it was. So I got Don Richard to help me. I went to the Department of Transportation because there was a survey referenced in this document talking about that. And it showed that 12 and a half acres on the other side of the street was burdened by restricted covenants that run with the land. And this is outside of your record. So I think that the record should be opened up to show this one thing, And so I'm just making the pitch as my objection to you here that I believe that the things relevant to that side of the street also show that Nordic didn't have TRI on the other side of the street. But to end with why they didn't have TRI here, because it doesn't matter which one it is, you have let in the rescission decision from the EPL. Having either an issued submerged lands lease or a pending application is a prerequisite for Nordic to be able to proceed with this project. They wouldn't have been able to have TRI without that. They can't have that now. And so for that reason alone, the ripple effects of the May 1 decision, knocking those out, show why this shouldn't proceed. And that was not really addressed in the draft order. So I think the draft order needs to focus on that issue. Nordic has tried to inject in this issues to deal with the eminent domain case by the city. And so it is important that this board now know that that condemnation order has been sent back on remand from the Superior Court in Waldo County because of grave concerns created by the May 1 decision that show that the city mislocated its
I'm objecting because this information is outside the record and because Attorney Tucker is characterizing a decision that is not in the record.
And I have asked for that order to be put in the record. I renew that request that that order be put in this record because I think it's relevant. If Ms. Tronjo was going to be relying on the eminent domain condemnation order, which she has in her briefs, as a base, a new basis for TRI. On that point, though, just I will close with one statement. Because Nordic has never amended its applications to include some other theory of TRI, I don't believe anything that references things outside of the one thing that's in the application, which is the ECROD Nordic purchase and sale agreement, is relevant in front of this board. I think that the board's decision is basically, as it was characterized in the draft order, my request is that this is the remand is turning the clock back to November 18th, 2020. And if you knew on November 18th, 2020, which you know after May 1, would you have reached the same decision? I think that is a proper inquiry, and I disagree with how that inquiry was characterized in the draft order.
Good, thank you very much. And first of all, there's a couple of objections raised, and I think I'll deal with the last one first. I take that to be an objection that you are of the belief that these documents should be put in the record. The record should be reopened, which was, I think, the last option that was presented by Mr. Hinkle. And that's what you're recommending to the board to do to satisfy your objection?
I do it one of two ways. I either say keep every argument about a contrary theory of TRI post-2020 out, and then you don't need to open the record for those things. Or if the if you're going to consider eminent domain as a possible theory for current TRI, then I request that these be put in.
Yes, I think that's the reason eminent domain comes up at all is it was in the department, the commissioner's letter, which suspended the license. And so I believe we took notice of it, and that is all the board has done is take notice of that existence. So to the extent that that is mentioned, that's within the record, but that's the only place it exists in the record, and I'm not sure it's going to enter into the board's consideration, but the objection is noted, and thank you. Any other questions? Yes, we are taking questions, so questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Going out to representative from Upstream Watch.